Welcome to the Homeschool High School Podcast, brought to you by SevenSistersHomeschool.com and the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network. I'm Vicki, and I'm so excited because I get to do an episode with my oldest homeschool friend and colleague, Marilyn Group, who's also a Seventh Sister. Marilyn is the editor in our books, along with Sarah and Allison. So anything you see done properly, it's because she went back and fixed the errors and made it legible and all.
So, okay.
Yeah, but okay. So one of the most important things that Marilyn does on an ongoing basis is she's principal of our local umbrella school, which has been around for 40 gazillion years.
Since 1996.
A long time. And so I was just, we're here at the office and I was looking around at all of the pictures of the graduates for over the years, and there's like hundreds of kids that have gone through the umbrella school.
26 graduating classes.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, this is so cool. So anyway, so before we get started, we're going to talk about study skills today because teens tell us they need it, and especially those that are college bound. But those who are taking classes in umbrella schools or co-ops, sometimes they haven't had to use classroom type study skills yet. So we want to talk about that for a few minutes. But first, Marilyn, tell us about Mount Sophia Academy and what a homeschool umbrella school looks like here.
So Mount Sophia Academy, it really has two parts to it, two focuses. One is we are a homeschool diploma program where we do the academic advising. We maintain transcripts. We send them out to colleges. We give out diplomas. Do all of that end of the homeschool, you know, mainly for high school, obviously. Mm-hmm. We also run classes for middle schoolers and high schoolers, and we have our classes at multiple levels, typically like level 2, which is average high school level, all the way up to advanced level 5. Some of our classes, even though we do not teach AP classes, some of our students have gone on to take AP tests and pass them and do really well on them. So we have a multitude of teachers, a multitude of classes, and we run a fairly busy day, Mondays and Thursdays, with typically 7 classes going on through 7 periods of the day. So
plus outstanding academic advising for kids who are college bound and not. So they get the kind of guidance they need to be prepared transcript wise and life experience wise for after graduation, and sports and choirs.
And we have sports and choir, and we hold the parents' hands and we let them blame all of the academic stuff on us.
Yeah, it's not my fault you have to study for this test.
It works.
So anyway, having had all that experience for multitudes of years, and we've had requests, what do we give our teens study skills-wise? Like, what do they need in order to get through high school classes, but especially college-bound kids? What are they going to need for the basics of how to study? Because, you know, a lot of us are not heavy on the book academics in elementary and middle school, except for some courses.
Or testing,
because we want them to have fun and to love learning. In high school, then all of a sudden we've got to have GPAs and test scores and stuff. So let's do some basic study skills for these kids. Okay, what would be a number one tip that you would say for our teens?
So probably number one is time management and not waiting to the last minute to do the work. For example, in a foreign language class, it is much better to go over that vocabulary for 15 minutes every day than to do an hour and a half the night before class. It gets that information into long-term memory better than the cramming does. And most of us know that cramming really doesn't work that well anyway. So that would be the top one.
You know, when I've heard so many times teens telling me, or I work a lot these days with freshmen who are struggling in college, and they say, but I stayed up all night and studied. And I said, and when was the first time you opened that textbook outside of class? And they go, last night. So yeah. It's just the neural development doesn't allow cramming to hold information. You can't retrieve it. It's not in long-term memory, like Marilyn said. So yeah, like do a little bit every day.
It works much better.
Yeah, which leads to
actually doing the work.
Yeah, actually doing the work. Yeah.
So typically the students who don't do well in class are the ones who either wait till the last minute to do it all or don't do all the assignments.
Right.
Just don't do them. Mm-hmm. And we all know that, especially when you get to college, there are times when you have to make a judgment call and say, I don't have time to do all of these assignments, and this one is worth 75% of my grade, and mm-hmm. that one's worth 10% of my grade, and mm-hmm. I should do the one that's 75% of my grade, because
you kind of have to triage more. It sometimes. Yeah. Yeah.
But most of the time, high school students have time to do the work. This is their job right now, so they have time to do it.
So have you ever had a kid who didn't have a crisis? I mean, everybody has a crisis once in a while in life, but didn't have a crisis, but just hadn't learned to manage themselves yet.
All the time.
And asked for an extension in class because they hadn't even started doing the homework mm-hmm. assignments, you know, at the end of the semester.
And there are all kinds of time management tools out there if you don't intuitively know how to do it. Now, some of our high school teachers give a syllabus that's so detailed that if you follow it, you don't have to make mm-hmm. any decisions on mm-hmm. your own. It says do this Monday, do this Tuesday, do this Wednesday, do this Thursday. If you actually do that instead of waiting till Friday night, mm-hmm. it really works. Typically, when you get to college, you don't get that.
No.
You have to figure it out for yourself, mm-hmm. and it works. And the other thing that probably is less of an issue in college because most things are electronically submitted. Mm-hmm. For some odd reason, our teachers can't grade things that haven't been handed in. Under the bed or the bottom of the backpack does not work.
So it may be done, but if it's not handed in,
you don't get credit for it.
So, and you know, that is a skill. It's just like our teens always had to learn to write their names on papers, but also to get it out of the backpack and hand it in.
It's amazing how many kids can sit there and watch everybody else handing something in and not have them.
It just
not realize that maybe they should be doing this.
Like they're chatting with their friend or thinking about what happens after classes, whatever. But so these are, you know, awareness skills, time management skills. So now how about preparing for tests? What would you say study skills might work for that?
Again, most of the kids who have been doing all their work as they go along know most of the material when it's mm-hmm. time for the test. Mm-hmm. Still better not to cram and stay up the whole night before. It's mm-hmm. better to do it as you go along. Mm-hmm. We all know that repetition helps you remember things.
Repetition.
It just helps them. For kids struggling, go to the teacher. Mm-hmm. Ask them for help. Mm-hmm. Don't wait until you're drowning. We think about math courses and kids think, oh, no, I'll get it. I'll mm-hmm. just keep working on it. And by the time they ask, they've missed the next three concepts because they didn't understand that mm-hmm. one. Sometimes it just takes a half hour sitting with a teacher and you have it.
Yeah. And it, for our high schoolers, most of the time, a teacher is somebody who is going to be local to them anyway, or digitally available at some mm-hmm. point. And they want you to ask questions. So it is not an imposition unless you're like sending them an email or a text at midnight the night before class.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
But to ask for a time, hey, you know, when could I ask a question and get some help with? Mm-hmm. And that's a life skill.
It's a life skill for college as well. The students who show up at a professor's office, ask questions during those office hours, sits in the front of the class, shows up for class every time, mm-hmm. they get the benefit of the doubt if that grade is right on the cusp mm-hmm. between two-letter grades, mm-hmm. typically more than the one who didn't bother to come to class, never you know, sat in the back sleeping or whatever.
I always tell the kids there's a magic thing called subjective points. Nobody ever says they're there, but they will show up sometimes for kids who show up and ask questions. So now one of the stories you were telling me a little bit ago was your daughter in college and note taking for a job. Like that was her job.
Yes. My daughter was in a class in college and there was a student with some special needs in there. I don't remember what it was. And she was taking notes for him. So she would take really good notes during class, go home and pretty quickly afterwards transpose those notes. And she was able to answer more questions in class than most of the other students because she had looked carefully at those notes at least once right after class, written them out while they were still fresh in her mind. There are studies that show that handwriting notes actually gets them in your brain better than typing them out, which unless of course your notes are so illegible that you can't read them afterwards. But apparently when you're handwriting notes, you tend to synthesize the material and write more briefly and interact with the material more than just, you know, basically just listening and typing.
Yeah, it's like more multi-sensory.
Yeah, and it makes your brain think about it so that you can write it. You can write more words typing, but sometimes you're just basically like, you know, typing without thinking about what you're,
you know, that is hearing. Really interesting. It's like when we go and see things these days, you know, and sometimes we forget to stop and just look and notice and remember because we're busy taking cell phone pictures.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we have the memory captured on the cell phone. We can always go back and look at it, but to be present.
But we missed it.
Yeah. And so I guess if you're handwriting, you've got to be present in a different way than if you're typing. Like
you have to be thinking about it enough to consolidate it into words that you can get down fast enough
and stay on the lines so that's a really good thought. And then for teens who are heading for college, they're going to face cumulative tests, and so your daughter was giving us some suggestions about test corrections, right?
Well, the one thing she said she wasn't prepared for when she went to college was those tests that were cumulative for the entire semester, for the entire course. I think some of the same skills apply because if you've been doing things as you go along and really learning it. But, you know, in classes that require a lot of memorization, as opposed to math classes where you're still using the concepts as you go along. You can forget what happened at the beginning of the semester because you're concentrating on what you just did. Then when you go back to read your notes, it's like all new again. Again, having good notes and then having done the work as you went along helps. I mean, we know there are times in college where there's a midterm and a final.
Yes.
You don't have any feedback until then, or they don't hand things back, so you don't know what you're... You don't know where you stand.
You could sink that ship really easily. Yes.
It does sink very quickly.
Yeah.
She felt that was because as homeschoolers, when we're working with our kids day to day, we don't tend to do that. We've seen what they know.
We can measure the mastery
in
a personal level. So you mentioned doing test corrections and then you keep those tests. So you get your tests back. And you see if you get them back, and then you see what needed to be fixed and redo that for your own knowledge. That way, one, you've learned it well, but two, if you've got a cumulative test, you've got the right thing to study. Because a lot of times at college level, they're just taking questions from the previous tests.
When I went to college back way long time ago, we could access some former tests in the library and use those kind of as practice tests. They would change them so they weren't exact, but sometimes we could, you know, so sometimes you can find things. Some students like to create quizzes with Quizlet and then just use that repetition, you know, take the book if, you know, some college professors don't even use the book. Their PowerPoints, if they give them to you, or your notes, and create some quizzes for yourself, because you think you know it when you're reading it. Whether you can then give it back is another story.
And it's such a creative way to do the repetition, because you can make your own little Quizlet with it. You know, so you're engaging in that material in multiple ways, but especially the ability to repeat. And repetition builds those neural pathways.
Yes,
so
it does. That's yeah, you need it to go to long-term memory. Just being able to spit it out for 5 minutes doesn't work.
Yeah.
And as we get older, that's harder and harder all the time.
Yeah, so fortunately for our teens, they've got younger brains, but they haven't very often had to use the brains in the boring study kind of ways.
Right.
And, you know, some kids are born and they love to study, but most of them not.
No, and most, you know, kids these days are used to sound bites and quick ways to do things, instant access to things. So studying is a tedious process.
Yeah. So, but it pays off. It builds mental strength and
character.
And we love character development. But also, you actually learn the material. So the grade you earn actually means some change in you too. So, you know, actually internalize the material. So, all right, any other ideas?
Those were the top ones. They are not, it sounds easier than it is.
Oh, yeah.
And that time management one, what we have found is a lot of ninth graders especially kind of need mom to come alongside them and help them do that for a while before they can look at a syllabus and be like, oh yeah, if I split it like this, I'll get everything done.
Yeah. So we at Seven Sisters Homeschool, we've got some posts on helping kids do their time management, you know, to learn the skills, and some links to tools that some of our homeschool graduates, I asked one day on Facebook, what do you guys use to manage your time? And so the things that they liked, we put there in that post. So I'll put the links in the show notes to that post on time management for teens.
It's a difficult concept, but we keep telling the kids it's a life skill that they need. Mm-hmm. You know, last I heard, most of your credit card companies are not happy if you don't pay the bill on time. You know, there are a lot of things that have deadlines.
Yeah.
And not soft deadlines either. Yeah,
this is a suggestion.
The IRS isn't too nice about it either. So,
so that is maybe one of our fundamental study skills.
Yes,
is the time management.
Time management and learning to meet deadlines.
That is a good one. So, all right. So we'll have all of these things in the show notes. And I'm so glad that everybody gets to hear from Marilyn. It's been a while. And it's good to have her expertise here on the podcast. So, well, this has been the Homeschool High School Podcast, brought to you by SevenSistersHomeschool.com and the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network. Check us out at Seven Sisters Homeschool Facebook group and ask questions there. And we will see you next week.